I want to bring a message, and this message, you could say it's a message of meat because it's quite theological, which sometimes is a little bit concerning, because my hope is that you get it all, but this is a message that you're going to have to go back and listen to again and again and again with your Bible open, okay? So I don't believe this is something you can just take in all at once. So I'm going to do my best, but this is a topic that is exciting to me, very relevant for us. And so if you want to turn to Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to begin there. And I'm going to start in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's, this is the main verse, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I'll close there, I'll finish there rather. Now, the book of Galatians, it's the title is actually the epistle. It's an epistle. An epistle, it says the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Galatians. So, you know, through the Gospels, you get just a general sense of what Christ has done, that he's come to preach forgiveness of sins, lay down his body for this humanity. And the epistles that Paul writes about, they're all about explaining, if I can really generalize it. They're all about like explaining, okay, well, why and how and what does it completely mean? And so part of why I'm reading from Galatians and particularly this chunk or this portion of scripture is because it talks about us there walking in the Spirit. Talks about things that are the works of the flesh, and talks about the things that are the fruit of the Spirit. And that's important because Jesus, he not only took the punishment of our sin, we're all well aware of that, but he also took away and he delivered us from the power of sin. I'll say that again. Yes, he took away the penalty. He died the death that we deserved. He took the punishment, but he also delivered the Christian from the power of sin. So actually, the power of sin no longer has a hold on the Christian. So if I just close right now and read verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, then we can all go home. Is that it? We're all done and dusted. That's just the way it is. But see, we've got to put two and two together. We've got to flesh out actually how we actually get there. And so I don't profess to be know everything about walking in the Spirit. There's a lot more that I don't know about that I have no light on. But I'm going to hope to just give you something that is relevant for you today that you can actually take with you and apply to your life. And that's just a small part of what it is to walk in the Spirit, because Jesus is concerned primarily about our character. It's wonderful to have gifts and ministries, but I tell you, you can have all those things without an ounce of character. You can have a gift, Because a gift is given not based on character. It's the grace of God, which means it's a free gift. It's a free giving of God. So we can have all the, you know, the gifts and all that, and that's wonderful as it is, but God is concerned about character. Now, in verse 16, it says that we have a flesh nature. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the flesh, that's what we're born with, a flesh. That doesn't just mean a physical body. It means the old nature, the fleshly nature, the nature that does what it wants, when it wants, thinks what it wants, speaks what it wants, does what it wants, completely unto its own. It's the old nature. That's what's referred to, very closely related at least, to the flesh. It's the old man. It also goes on to talk about the old man. So that's the old man, okay? Because in life we have three different people in the world. You have the unregenerate man. That's the man that hasn't been born again. He hasn't received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He does not have the Holy Spirit. He's unregenerate. So he's just a Lord of himself, does what he wants. And that's fine by him. We don't judge that. Then you have the Christian, but he's carnal, or she, where they're saved and born again, but they're just led by the flesh, the emotions and the desires of that old nature, the old self. They're led, and everything that they want to do, those emotions, those desires play out in their life. And now the third person is the Christian, who is the spiritual person. It's a spiritual man and woman who actually has grown in character and is in step with the Spirit, is walking in the Spirit, and they are, as I said, led by the Holy Spirit instead of the old yucky, if you want to call it, the old nature, you know, the old self we don't like. The spiritual Christian is the one who walks by the means of the Holy Spirit. And that is not done with a striving. So it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So it's not like when the fruit of the Spirit is cultivated in us that we have to try and be loving. It just comes as a natural consequence when we walk in the Spirit. When we're kind, when we suffer long, when we're patient, these things are just, we don't have to strive to do them. When we're walking in the Spirit, when we're at that place where we are mature enough to walk in the Holy Spirit, these things come as a natural result because the fruit of the Spirit has been produced in us more and more. It's been cultivated and it's been grown. So what is the flesh? I told you a little bit before what it is, but I'll give you something here. It says it's the, well, this is someone else's definition, but it's the unruly passions, emotions, and desires. So those things, the old yucky things that we don't like, those things that we don't want to do that we end up doing sometimes and we regret or we have guilt over. In verse 24, it says that those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions, there you go, and desires. So these are things that are like unruly that we don't typically have control over. And the flesh, it says, the flesh, that old man, that old nature, it's in opposition to the Holy Spirit. Our old man, the old nature, wants to do one thing, but the Holy Spirit wants to do completely the opposite thing. You can see there, you can see what the evidence of the works of the flesh are, and then you can see what the fruit of the Spirit is. And so they oppose one another. And it says these lusts, and I prefer the word desire, it's the same meaning. But lusts has a certain sexual connotation, but lust just means a perverted desire. That's all that lust means. But it says the flesh, it says it lusts. There's things that lust in us for the things that are wrong. It says there that the flesh has lusts, and actually it says it wants to fulfill them. So we can be a born-again Christian, walking with God, but there's this old man, this old nature that wants to still do certain things that we know are wrong, wants to pull us in certain ways, those passions and those desires. And so that's something that, again, is opposing to the Holy Spirit. But it's the flesh nature, that old man, that wants to fulfill those desires. But we can't allow those things to take place because God desires us to walk in the Spirit. And that chunk of scripture I read out talks about walking in the Spirit, but it also talks about being led by the Spirit. Now, to be led by the Spirit is a little bit different. To be led by the Spirit is to be simply instructed by God. So I'm out in the street, and the Holy Spirit might say, speak to that person. Or I'm in the church, someone says, and the Holy Spirit might say, share an encouraging word with that person. Or get up here and share something. Or be kinder to your wife. Or it might be, give some money to someone. Whatever it is, but God just, by His Spirit, instructs you. Gives you instructions here and there. That's to be led by the Spirit. But to walk in the Spirit, I don't want to confuse you. To walk in the Spirit, that is a little bit different. That is to fulfill the will of God, which is the Bible, is to fulfill His will in the character or the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So it's actually to be walking day by day in the Spirit or by the Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit, don't forget. This is not like an add-on. This is something we have already. And I'm going to flesh this out a little bit more. So again, if you're not getting it all, just you're going to have to read it back. And I pray, my aim is not to confuse you, but I want to explain how this works. Because if you can really lay hold of it, that thing that rises up in you continually, anger, impatience, moods, fear, these things will no longer dominate you. Because I said at the beginning, Jesus has what? Broken the power of sin. So really, there shouldn't be any sin in our lives. But there is. Now, I'm not preaching sinless perfection. So don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching at you saying you shouldn't sin and you'll never sin ever again. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that Jesus Christ has made provision. He has made a way by His Spirit and what He's done on the cross that we can walk free of sin, that it doesn't have to dominate us. Where we've struggled for years with certain things in us, might be lust, that we no longer have to. That thing doesn't have to dominate us. And I'm going to explain that as best as I can. Like I said, God desires that we walk in the Spirit. Because that old flesh, that old nature, it wants to rule us. And you may know this yourself. You might find yourself pulled to things that you don't want to do. Or things are rising up in you. Like I used to get impatient at my wife because I'm ready for church. And I'm waiting. And I feel this thing rising up in me. Now, you might think impatience, is that a sin? Yeah, it is a sin. It's a respectable sin, but it's a sin nonetheless because the Holy Spirit is self-control. But I've learned how to deal with that and not let it take hold of me and dominate me. You and I are not free to indulge our fleshly nature. We're not free just to let it take hold and do what it likes. Because the Bible says we've been bought at a price. We are no longer our own. I don't belong to myself. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm to be ruled and reigned over by Him. And that's an awesome thing if you can say amen to that. Amen. To be ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. To have the Holy Spirit lead us and direct us. There's no life greater than that. Verse 19, it talks about some of these works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, and it goes on, it gives a list. Now, I don't want you to don't limit these things. I don't believe this is an exhaustive list. And don't limit the works of the flesh, or don't limit sins to obvious things like adultery, lying, theft, murder. Like, they're sins, but it doesn't end there. I've mentioned one already, impatience. That's not necessarily there. Fear, that's not there. Lying, that's not there either. Moods, that's not there. offense, gossip, that's not there. But yet those things are works of the flesh. We've got to rule over them. We can't let them rule over us and dominate us. We have to learn how to walk in and by the Spirit, and I'm going to get there. The application is so important that I'm leaving it to the end. What I'm trying to do is I'm teaching you right now as best as I can, and I'm building a foundation. I'm building or explaining where you are right this very moment, what Christ has done, and therefore how you can now apply it and walk going forward. Now, verse 21, it says there that those that practice such things, so these works of the flesh or these sins, those that practice will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that word practice, I believe, infers to something we might do habitually. So we just, like the fear, the impatience, we just let certain things just dictate our life without any sort of paying attention or any thought or dealing with them as such. We just let them take over. We get angry maybe, and we just let it loose out of our mouth and it doesn't bother us. See, these are things that are habitual. It says those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you may stumble here and there, but that's not talk. I don't believe that practicing is what that is. You know, you might fall here and there, but I wouldn't say that's a habit. You're not, that's not something habitually. That's not something that you practice regularly. But to practice them is such a dangerous thing. And that's why I want to share this teaching. And I've wanted to share it for a long time because it's close to my heart. And I know the answer and the solution is in what Jesus has done and how we can continue to walk in greater levels of victory, that certain things don't have to have a hold on us. And I'll tell you why we're not to live as we please. We're not free to live just as our emotions, our old emotions, if you like, our old desires. Why we're not allowed to do that. In Romans 8, verse 6, it says, for to be carnally minded, okay, so that's just to be thinking about the old ways we used to live before we were born again, to think that way is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or it's hostile, it's in opposition against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So those who are walking according to their own desires, the lust of the flesh, cannot please God. So that's one reason why we can't do that. Following on a few verses later, verse 13, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, so that's the carnal Christian, just living by the emotions. I just do what I want, when I want, without any regard to, Lord, what you want. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. So that's spiritual death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. There's a promise for you. But it begins by putting to death the deeds or the acts of the body. It says that you will live as a result. So I don't believe Paul would write that if it wasn't possible. So that is possible for you and I to be walking in the Spirit. And I'm going to get to, again, I'm going to apply this at the end because it's so important how we walk this out. And as I mentioned, we're not free to live the way we like because we are not our own. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? We are not our own. We're not free, like I said before, just to indulge our senses, our natural senses, our natural emotions. We're not free just to live the way we want. We're not free to be impatient when we want. We're not free just to have moods when we feel like it. And I'm just going to let this thing go and I'm going to give my husband or wife the cold shoulder because I'm moody. That is not permitted. Christ has delivered us from that. That's the old person. That's the old Ross. The fear that rises up. Christ has delivered us from the power of that. It's been done. Sin no longer has dominion over us. It doesn't. You might think, well, how come I still do these things? Or how come I still feel these things in certain situations? Well, that's the old man, the old nature, the flesh nature. Like I said at the beginning, that's what's opposite. It says it wants to do the wrong thing, if I paraphrase what I read out at the beginning. It wants to do the wrong thing, but the Spirit wants to do the right thing. Now, these things, and some of these things I've been mentioning, you might say, well, are those things really sin? Like moods? Like how can that be a sin? Well, if it's not in the nature of Christ, do you think Jesus ever came and was moody with people? Like he got angry, I know that. There was a righteous anger when he drove people out of the temple, but he had the Spirit of holiness. That's the Holy Spirit. Everything, the way he lived was completely holy and righteous in every way. And it says that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. So he came to set us free from that. Now, in Galatians 5:24, this is what we do have. This is what we do have in Christ. It says, and those who are Christ, that's you and I, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, you've got to apply faith to that to begin with, okay? So I'm moving to the application, okay? So what I've just said for the last 22 minutes is laying the foundation. Because when you apply this, these things are going to be in a moment when something rises up. So you're not going to have 20 minutes to think about what I've just said and then exercise it. So I've just laid the foundation, and that's why I want you to go home and listen to it again to understand where you are, what Christ has done, and where you are positionally. So that when something comes, you know, boom, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do about it to walk out of this or to walk free of it. Galatians 5:24, I'll read it again. It says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So those things are being crucified. Romans 13. So by faith, you're applying faith to that. So you either believe that or you don't. So you believe what I just spoke about in Galatians 5:24 or you don't. But you need to if you're going to move on. Romans 13 verse 14. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts or desires, you could say. So again, Paul wouldn't write that if it was not possible. So again, if he said it, then we can do it. By the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, we can walk. Not gratifying our own desires, but pleasing the Lord, because it's only faith that pleases him. So how do you move from being controlled by the flesh and the emotions to walk in the Spirit? If you go to Romans 6, and this is where it gets not complicated, but you need to listen to it a few times if you're going to apply it. Romans 6 verse 5 to 12, okay, this is really important because this is where the rubber hits the road. So think about yourself in this when I read it out. For if we, but you could say if I, for if I've been united together in the likeness of his death, that's Jesus, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, what's this? That our old man was crucified with him. Okay, so that's already done. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, that's us, reckon or consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. So, there it talks about baptism. When the Christian died, we died with Christ. So whenever you were baptized, 1995, 2001, whenever it was, on that day, when you went into the water, you died. That's a fact. Christ died 2,000 years ago, but you died with him when you went through those waters of baptisms. So you're either dead, that old person's either dead, or he's been resurrected. He hasn't been resurrected, has he? Your old nature was put to death when you went through the waters of baptism. Okay? That's very, very important to understand, that the old Ross, when he was baptized in whatever year it was, he died, that old Ross. Now, that doesn't mean I've been made perfect straight away. I'm still, my character's still being refined, and some of you can say amen. So we have been buried. We've died. And then it says, verse 6, knowing this, so this is what God did. This is a fact. That old man was crucified with him, okay, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we shall no longer be slaves of sin. Okay, so we've established that when we died with him, when we went through the waters of baptism, that was it. That was a funeral for Ross. That was a funeral for every one of you. That you could say goodbye. That the waters of baptism is really a funeral service for the old person, the old nature. It died. But it says that we have been raised. It goes on to say, if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, knowing this. In other words, knowing what? Knowing what the scriptures say. So when Paul says knowing this, it's like, what's this? That's the scripture. That's what he's talking about. So again, it's by faith. Is what he's saying true? Do I read that and I go, yeah, I believe that by faith that I died however many years ago when I was water baptized? That this was the transaction that took place. Do I believe that? And that's very important if you receive that by faith. Because if you don't, you can't walk into the victory, because that old man will keep raising its old ugly head up and keep doing the old ugly things that it used to. So verse 11 then says, likewise, you also reckon or consider yourself to be indeed to sin, but alive to God. So that's what we do now. Consider yourself. Do you consider yourself? And this is, again, part of the application, laying the foundation. Do you consider yourself dead to sin? Like, I've died to sin. When I was water baptized, like, I died, that old man, that old nature, that old Ross, that old Angela, the old Bruce died. And fill your name in with a blank. Do you believe that you died that day, that old person? Because he says there, consider yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. That we've actually been made alive to God. So we're no longer dead. We didn't stay dead. We came out of the waters of baptism alive in God. Again, this is just the foundation. I'm laying the foundation because we need to understand how to apply the cross now. You need to apply the cross. And I know this is a little bit theological, but it's the best I can do. And that's why you need to go over it a few times to get it in your spirit. Okay, but we need to apply the cross, the crucifixion, if you like, to our old fleshly nature. Okay, I'm getting to the good part. Although it's all good so far, I hope. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. There's the waters of baptism. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, or, you know, the physical body, not the old man, the physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, there it talks about faith, applying what the cross has done, applying where we are seated, positionally what the cross has done for us. You've got to apply that by faith and faith alone. So if all this you don't believe by faith, then it's absolutely irrelevant to you. It means nothing. It won't change your life. It's only by faith when you apply this. So that's why I want to be concise about applying this. Now, when something rises up in you, I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, this was outside the church, but someone asked me to go and do something for them. And it was COVID time. So I'm like, it was a Sunday morning, but I should have been at church, but it was COVID. Someone wanted me to go get something for them. And I was fuming. I was like, you should go get it yourself. Like, anyway, I drove off, went and did what I was supposed to do. And I was completely incorrect. Like, I had no justification for getting upset in this situation, which I will leave very broad. However, as I was driving, this thing, like, I don't know, maybe it was, I don't know, frustration. This thing in me was just there, and I'm fuming, right? And I started thinking, well, this is unjustified. I have no right to feel this in given the situation. Where's my love? Where's my mercy? And anyway, what I was doing, before I knew sort of some of these scriptures, I was actually dealing with that old nature. I wasn't allowing it to take its place in me. And so, amazing thing happened, that thing just left. It just left. And so what was I doing there? What came forth instead of that impatience? It was love. It was the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, part of the fruit of the Spirit. So in its place, when I applied the crucifixion to that nature of mine, that frustration, something came forth instead. Now, put yourself in my position. Maybe someone is in ministry and they're getting raised up, and maybe something rises up and you're jealous. Jealousy is a work of the flesh, and you're harboring jealousy. And for weeks and weeks, maybe months, you're jealous. I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. You feel this thing there. You know it's wrong. What do? You apply the crucifixion. You say to that thing, and it's literal, it's almost a literal conversation. You say, no, you don't. Jealousy. You're part of the old nature. You died. You're not part of the new nature. You're not part of me. You're part of the old Ross, or part of the old so-and-so. I'm not going to let you dominate me, jealousy. You don't necessarily have to say this out loud, but in a moment, you know where you're at, and I'm telling you what to do. Or the impatience, like I spoke of before, when that thing rises up, man, I'm getting impatient with this person. No. I might want to exercise that. And trust me, crucifixion, it's not nice. It's painful. You don't want to, you want impatience to have its way. You want to get angry. He deserves it. She deserves it. And you want this thing to have its way. You got to crucify. You got to apply the crucifixion to that old nature. And it hurts. Crucifixion hurts. It's not nice. And it won't necessarily be easy. But when you do, and this is powerful, you are connected, don't forget, by the Holy Spirit to the resurrected Christ. So when you apply the cross, the power of the cross, what it's done for you, where you're seated positionally, you bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ's righteousness, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And the grace comes. The grace comes. So when you're angry, you now have self-control. When you're impatient, that is changed. When you're moody, you now have a love and a kindness for those around you. That's as simple as it is. I don't have to make it more complicated than that. But it's in that moment saying, no, you don't. You are part of the old Ross. You are not going to dictate to me. You're not going to dominate me. You have no right. You were put to death, old Ross. That thing rising up in me, that thing rising up in you. No, no, no. You are put to death. How dare you? You died on that cross. When that unsaved person comes and you're a Christian and you think about dating them, that those emotions start coming up and you know it's wrong. No, you don't. You don't go there. You crucify that thing, those desires, those lusts the Bible talks about. You've got to crucify them. Again, you've got to apply the crucifixion, what Christ has done, where you're seated with him, to that nature. We are married to the resurrected Christ. We are married to him. He's in heaven. We are connected by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's united with our spirit. Don't forget that. So when we are walking this way, when we are crucifying those things, it's the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit that comes forth. The grace is there to walk free of those things. Now, you might say, well, if I've struggled with anger all this time, or jealousy, or I'm always moody, or fear, or I find myself always lying or gossiping, do I have to do this every single time? Well, the answer is no, because fruit is cultivated. Over time, take any of those things, those examples I gave you, lust, impatience, fear, greed, moods. Over time, the fruit of the Spirit, because it's a fruit, it grows, it's going to be cultivated. So there's going to be a point in time where you just don't get impatient anymore. It's like, oh, that's all good. You know, I'll wait an hour and be late. Maybe not. However, that fruit is getting cultivated. So you don't have to do this every single time. I mean, for a period you might have to. There might be some things you really need to work on. But you've got to crucify that old nature. That sin nature, it's been dealt with already. Don't forget that. You're dead to sin. You know how it has no power. It does want to rise up though. It wants to raise its head. But that's when you say, no, you don't. No, no. No, you're not going to have your way. You're not going to dominate me. You're going to start. And now, I've just given you that's not everything, but that's the best I can do, fortunate or unfortunate. There's a lot more to that, so I'm not saying that's how you completely walk in the Spirit and I'm like this spiritual guru. I'm just saying I've just shared just a little part of what I know, which I believe will be helpful, and it's helped me. So I pray it's been helpful for you. And again, you probably need to just go over these scriptures, meditate on them again, because there's a lot there. So like I said, when you apply the crucifixion to your life, you're identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? You're identifying yourself with the dead body of Jesus when you crucify it. And what's glorious is you're connected by the Spirit to him. You bring forth the fruits of his righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, and you can walk in victory. You can walk in victory over anything. Now, I'm not saying it may happen overnight, but this is what Christ has done for us. This is the power he's given us by his Holy Spirit. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to walk this out victorious. So let me just pray. Lord, I just ask anything and everything I've just spoken, Lord, I simply ask that you would just cement it. You would just make it real. Like I said at the beginning, Lord, you would just give each of us a greater understanding and a revelation of, Lord, where we were, where we are now, that we are dead to sin, that sin no longer has any dominion over us. Lord, that you've given us the victory because you yourself reign victorious. And we, I thank you, are connected by your Spirit. So, Lord, I'm asking as we go, Lord, there would be almost like a season of teaching, Lord, by your Spirit, where you would grow us further and further. And I ask that you would continue to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in us. Continue to grow us, Lord, because you desire character. And Lord, we desire character. We want to be more like you. So I ask, Lord, for each person here and those online, Lord, that you would make us more like you. You would give us the understanding again of your word, how to apply it to our lives. Give us the grace, Lord. I'm asking for fresh grace here where people are struggling. Lord, where sin has captivated people. Lord, I just declare, according to your word, sin shall not have dominion over them. Lord, that you are seated in the heavenly places and we are connected to you. Lord, that these people shall know the power of the resurrection in their life. You are the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I declare, Lord, the greatness of your power over every head here and the families that they represent. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I should say also, regarding the fruit of the Spirit, that's not the only way the fruit of the Spirit is cultivated as well. So I probably should make that distinction. I'm not saying that's the only way you're going to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He's going to cultivate areas in your life too. So through the Word as well and through prayer. So all that's true also. Amen.